Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Let's go, Cowboys!
This is Mick Schatz.
Streaming live on DallasCowboys.com and the official Dallas Cowboys app.
Now, here are Bill Jones, Everson Walls, and Mickey Spagnola.
And it is time for another edition of Mix Shots inside the SWBC podcast studio. High noon on a Tuesday as we turn our attention to the Cowboys and the Washington Commanders this week. And after a very eventful last few days of football and obviously, we start off today's show, and we'll spend a lot of time today talking about the events of last night and our prayers, obviously, with Damar Hamlin and the Buffalo Bills and Damar's family and so forth. Bill Jones, Everson Walls, and Mickey Spagnola. And it was an unbelievable weekend of football. And then all of a sudden, on Monday night,
everything screeched to a halt.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And it's very sobering, and everyone just has Damar Hamlin in their thoughts and prayers today.
You know, we've seen a lot of injuries in the game of football over my however many years covering it since I was in college. But I don't recall seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall seeing someone look like a normal tackle, hit, fall right to the ground, get up, and then just collapse. And when I saw that, it was like, oh, this is more than a head injury, right? And that initially, it was like his head did hit the ground, and I was thinking, okay, he kind of knocked himself out.
Right.
But then when you see the ambulance rushing onto the field and the way the emergency personnel started running onto the field, you knew it was more than that. And I don't recall ever seeing anything like that. And boy, as you said, it was very sobering and emotional too, just thinking this is what we do for our business.
Right.
We cover this stuff, right? And I immediately thought of you thinking, well, thank God he's with us tomorrow.
Yeah,
put it in perspective because, you know, I mean, we can go on, right? But when they were sitting there going, okay, we don't know how long the delay is, I go, there is no way in hell if I'm a player that I'm going to go back out there and play. How could I get fired up to do something after seeing that? And, you know, then you just listen to everybody and Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark and Booger, you know, and it was like, okay, this is resonating through all these players, and it's like, I don't know how I go to practice on Wednesday.
Man, yeah, how far do you take it, right? I mean, you know, first of all, this is something that no one's ever seen before, as you talked about. I mean, I've made that tackle many times. The guy just kind of, it seems like, you know, when you're going lateral, you know, you don't quite have that, you know, a stance to go forward. And the running back just kind of beat him to the punch. That was it. The guy kind of lowered his head. You know, it wasn't as if it was a penalty. But, you know, he was the more aggressive person on that play. And the guy just kind of looked like he got hit in the chin area. And, dude, I've got hit like that I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
I mean, an offensive lineman or defensive lineman, they get hit like that every play. So here it is. This guy gets up and goes down, and then he said, what's the protocol? Hell, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what the protocol is?
There ain't no handbook for it.
It is. There isn't. So, you know, what do you do? Now we got to sit here and wait, and you got people worried about their fantasy teams. You know, it's crazy. You know, worried about gambling, of course, and what their ticket's going to be and all of that. And here it is. This guy, you know, the reaction is weird on one hand to where, you know, people are worried about selfishness. And then the other hand, his charity rose up $3.7 million.
Is that what it's up to now?
Yes.
No. Wow, it's over $4 million now.
Wow.
Last time I checked.
So, you know, human society, man. This is the way it goes. You capitalistic society, you know, some people are going to be more empathetic, you know, and some are just going to be still, you know, the bottom line is what matters. And this is what I was thinking about last night. If we were back in the 80s, how would we treat this? How would we treat this? I mean, first of all, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't be nearly as empathetic now the way then the way we are now, because the world was different. Nobody cared. It's football, and it's just the way it is. The union wasn't as strong. The players wasn't making enough money. So the care for those players now is greater. Back then, who knows what would have happened if someone got hurt like that? Would they be as diligent, you know? Would we be talking about something like this? I don't know if anyone's ever almost died on the field.
Well, Chuck Hughes, which was a Detroit Lions player in 1971, the Lions were playing the Chicago Bears at Tiger Stadium in Detroit. Late in the fourth quarter, Hughes entered the game as an injury replacement, caught a pass from Greg Landry for 32 yards and a first down. Three plays later, I got to run through it here. Uh-huh. Hughes three plays later, Hughes was running back to the huddle with a minute left in the game, suddenly dropped to the turf, clutching his chest. He suffered a heart attack and died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And wow. But that was a minute left in a game. Wow. That was played in October of 1971 mm-hmm. in Detroit. Obviously, as you point out, I mean, it's the landscape from as far as social media and everything.
And humanity.
And 50
humanity.
Years. We're 50
right.
years removed.
It's different right. now than what it was then. But – and then – Yeah.
It was
Hank Gathers is another one, basketball.
Right.
You know, Loyola Marymount.
Of course.
Well, you know what it reminded me of, and this was only a couple years ago, with the Dallas Stars, Rich Peverly collapsed on the bench, and they had to take him off the bench into the walkway to the locker room and perform CPR, and I think they did the shock treatment mm-hmm. on him. Mm-hmm. And I just found out that, fortunate for him, that they had a visiting physician there who was a heart specialist.
Wow.
Right? Just happened to be there with the other physician as a guest, and he was able to, help out with his expertise. But with this, you know, before we knew, you know, that it was cardiac arrest and, you know, and the severity of that, it was like, well, what happened?
Pre-existing condition?
And see, and you think that. And I this morning, ESPN, the morning show, had a guest cardiologist. They did an interview with a lady from she was a heart specialist from Columbia University. Uh-huh. And she was saying that it's a small percentage that between heart beats that you get some sort of traumatic hit and it causes your heart to stop.
So the timing had to be
just like one in a million. And she's saying, I don't know, but I know this can happen from a traumatic injury.
It didn't matter where he got hit.
Right. It wasn't like he got hit in the heart. It was just a traumatic hit,
right.
And then his head hit. And she said, and the key thing from just watching from afar was how fast the emergency personnel got there. Because when your heart stops, you're not getting oxygen to your brain.
That was a big thing with Mike Leach when he suffered his heart attack, and he was apparently alone, and so they didn't get help to him soon enough.
And she said, the longer that lapse, the more after effects you will have.
Yeah.
You know, you'll start having organ problems or whatever else. And she said that, when she saw the, I don't know if she said she saw it, but he got the emergency vehicle on the field and start giving him oxygen right away, that helps minimize the after effect. But she didn't have any knowledge of pre-existing conditions or anything like that, and we still haven't heard anything. It was just eerie because, I mean, you knew they couldn't play, right? You can't go out there and play, regardless of what the ramifications are.
And regardless of the team.
Yeah.
Someone was saying on the way in, well, you know, if he wasn't a teammate. Well, if you view that, if you sit up there and watch somebody die and then you bring them back, view that, I don't care what team I'm on.
Right.
I'm going to be traumatized. I'm not playing anymore. I remember we were playing against the Rams, I think, in the 80s. We were in Anaheim. And, three people in a short succession had all of a sudden they blew their knees out, Timmy Newsom being one of them. And I remember sitting up there like, man, this is getting kind of scary. You know, just from knees being blown out.
Right.
I was like, whoa, what? You know, it was very weird that you had like two or three of them in a short span in one game. That made me nervous. So you can imagine if I'm sitting up here looking at somebody, teammate or not, and they pull out the things and all that, and you bring them back to life, there's no way. I don't care who, teammate or not, I ain't going back.
Even if they told you to go back, right? No, right. I'm not going back. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't even know why there was a debate. Like, are we going to, it's suspended, postponed. No, you can't play. I'm thinking, who's going to practice on Wednesday and how are they going to feel around the league, not just those teams?
The only way that they could have resumed playing is if they got immediate good news that he's fine.
And there was no
even with that, it would be tough to.
It would be tough.
He's doing great, you know.
Yeah.
And, then the other part of it was just the. The pressure on the announcers, Joe and Troy, and then they go back to the studio. These people are trained to cover football. Mm-hmm. They're not like news reporters that are probably immune to tragedy because that's what they cover, right? And now you got to talk about this, and you know you're going to get emotional, right?
When Troy said, you know how it is. Just another injury, guys on the ground. I think I was cooking some food. My daughter was coming in. I was getting her some New Year's Day food. You know how you got to have the greens and all that stuff. So I was doing that. And then they said, when Troy said CPR, I stopped. Like, what? Wait a minute. What?
Yeah.
You know, he said for several moments. And they're like, oh, Lord. You know, that's when I sat down. Like, oh, man, what's going on here? This is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear the word CPR, the letter CPR, that is not good.
And, and those guys weren't getting any information, basically. And you couldn't see because they circled the players all the way around.
Well, you can't get information. The doctor's not going to give you information at that time. I got work to do.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to get into the protocol of something like that. What do you do? I mean,
I can't remember. Where did it come out that the teams are going to warm up for 5 minutes?
Yeah, and I heard that whoever sent that information was wrong.
Right.
The NFL is saying, no, we never said that. Uh-uh. But, yeah, I know. It's like
I can't remember if it was.
They said they go in for 5 minutes and then they come back out and warm up a little bit. Well, that was the coaches talking. I believe that was the coaches talking because they made that decision after the coaches came face-to-face with the referees. That's what I saw.
But you knew it was going to come down from New York, right? And the NFLPA.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think both coaches were
guys are still out there crying.
We're not. Yeah.
There's no way. Yeah.
We can't do this. But then they act like they gave Joe and Troy a break by going to the studio, but then they're even further removed from it. And what can you say?
And they keep coming back to him.
Yeah.
They keep coming back to him.
And you can see the emotion on Booger's face, right? He was having a hard time. And it's like, gosh, what do you say? And then
Schefter himself, he was.
And then they went to the sideline. Help me, Bill. Their sideline.
Lisa Salter.
Lisa.
Yes.
And she was struggling. But you know what? She came back towards the end and just nailed it, right? She got herself composed. And but again, she's not used to doing that. Right?
She shouldn't have to do that.
And you know how emotional you're going to be, right? I remember during the Uvalde thing, and I don't remember what station I was watching, and they threw it to a very young reporter.
I saw that. Yeah.
And she broke down crying, right? And it's like, well, it's not fair. She's not conditioned
she fought
to
through
do
it.
This,
she
right?
Fought
she
through
fought
it.
Through it, right?
Nate just brought up Daryl Stingley.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Right.
And so you look at the difference between – there's a difference right there. Daryl Stingley's paralyzed. Mm-hmm. The game went on.
Yeah.
The game went on.
Yeah, it did.
The game went on, you know? And so, wow, that just lets you know how far we've come. So, you know,
I remember when so this would have been 2009, when the roof collapsed on the practice facility. Mm-hmm. We were all in there. You know, we escaped. And about, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes later, 15 at the most, the fan had just taken over as the Cowboys flagship station. And I got a call from one of the guys there I knew, and they said, can you go on the air? And I was like, you know what? You're going to have to give me some time.
Yeah,
I said, you don't want me coming on here crying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your adrenaline, you need some time. But those guys, they didn't have time. They had to react and, you know, keep the thing on the air for all that time. And I know they went to commercial break, but it wasn't – they just didn't have anything to say.
Let's just look at the NFL itself. The NFL is made up, and especially the coaches, of hardened men. You think about Tom Landry. This man flew in the war.
Yeah.
And people fought in the war. They've seen death. You know, I would imagine some of them actually saw some action, and they've seen people sacrifice this and sacrifice that. So when they play football and they try to keep saying it's a game compared to war, right? That's why we become so hardened in the NFL. You know, oh, just got to keep on moving forward. Football. It's a tough man's game. That's the foundation of the NFL itself. Men have seen a lot of things.
Yeah.
So when you see someone get hit on the practice field or the football field, I mean, we used to get somebody get injured. Man, we move the practice up.
No, you would. You would.
You just move it up. Nobody. I mean, I don't care how dangerous.
I can remember in training camp, it's like somebody's laying out in Austin, and it's like, okay, move up 10 yards
and let them take care of him back here. Right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, so.
We ain't got time
for it. We ain't got time for it. See? So that's kind of where, that's the basis of the NFL. So I'm glad to see that we are not there anymore because, I'm glad Nate brought up Daryl Stingley because there were moments in the NFL where, hey, just get him off the field. Let's keep on playing.
Yeah.
So let's just think about Daryl Stingley and Daryl Stingley Jr. at this point. What he might be thinking right now.
You know, I don't know if you want me to do this now, Bill. The last thing I saw was the family sent out a statement, and I'll go ahead and read it here. It's a little bit long, but on behalf of our family, we want to express our sincere gratitude for the love and support shown to DeMar during this challenging time. We are deeply moved by the prayers, the kind words, and donation from fans around the country. We also want to acknowledge the dedicated first responders and healthcare professionals, the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, who have provided exceptional care to DeMar. We feel so blessed to be part of the Buffalo Bills organization and have their support. We also want to thank Coach Taylor and the Bengals for everything they've done. Your generosity and compassion mean the world to us. Please keep DeMar in your prayers. We will release updates as soon as we have them.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you're the mother sitting in the stands.
Mm-hmm. No, that didn't happen. That's great. Thank God she was there.
You go back through his Twitter, and this is a game from earlier in the season. There's a video of him before the game going up to his mom and family in the stands. And so I think the family was able to go to a lot of the game. I don't know if that was a home game or not, but this one, obviously, it was on the road. And so it was like he had hashtag family or something,
right?
You know, and he was I recall, too, just when he came out of the draft in 2021,
mm-hmm.
He caught my eye in as much for what kind of high character kid he was.
He was a team captain.
Yeah, at Pitt, University of Pittsburgh. Yeah, And, I mean, that's what I look for in that big green notebook are the high character guys and DeMar Hamlin. As soon as I heard it was DeMar Hamlin, I said, oh, he's a good good guy.
Yeah.
Good and then you go back through, you know, the charity stuff that he's done, even going back to his time at, in college. Before NIL was around, really, in college, he was doing that stuff, you know. And so, anyway, I mean, obviously, he is in our thoughts and prayers. Again, overnight, the Bills did confirm that it was a cardiac arrest that he suffered on the field. And so, just praying for
a great outcome.
Yeah, great outcome and a full recovery for DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah, we finally got a it was late on Twitter that Jordan Rooney, his representative from his agency, basically sent out an update and said his vitals are back to normal. They have put him to sleep to put a breathing tube down his throat. They are currently running tests. We'll provide updates as we have them. So when I saw that, it was like, oh, boy. You know, the vitals are good, but, yeah. And basically that cardiologist pointed out that the key thing is just to keep oxygen flowing into his body, because even though you might be breathing on your own, you may not be breathing as well as you need to.
You don't want any more stress on your organs.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's take a break, and there's some Cowboys things we need to get to when we come back here on Mix Shots in just a moment.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh. Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. Five times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Back to Mixed Shots.
Cape Post Roofing and Waterproofing, proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. From corporate homes to your home, have your roof checked by choice, not by chance. Call now, 214-225-4860, capepostcompany.com.
All right, you got lots of stuff on your legal pad over there, Mickey.
Yeah, I do. Seems insignificant, but I do have it. So,
well, while you're finding that,
let's go ahead.
You know, going back to the NFL on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happened was for the Cowboys was an Eagles loss to the Saints. What didn't come through for the Cowboys on Sunday were those Las Vegas Raiders.
That's true.
They tried.
I'm sitting there,
they sure did.
And the game wasn't televised here, and so I saw that it was going to overtime, and so I got on my NFL app, and I'm listening to the game, and it was a Dallas kid, Tayshawn Gibson, out of at a Kimball High School in Dallas who got the pick for the 49ers and ran it back inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah,
and they kicked the field goal.
They got the field goal.
And they got the field goal to win the game. But had the Raiders pulled off that win, we'd be sitting here at all the Cowboys would need to not only win the division, obviously, would be the Cowboys winning this week and Washington and Philadelphia losing, but getting a not only home field advantage in the playoffs, but a first round bye in the playoffs by those two things happening: Cowboys winning at Washington, Philadelphia losing to the Giants. Still a long shot on Philadelphia losing to the Giants, but
if the Giants decide to play,
yeah, and that's the other thing that went bad for the Cowboys is that the Giants clinched a playoff spot.
Yes, that's
so they
the
got
bad
nothing
thing
to play for.
So what do you think? What do you
but
think
Daboll said we're playing to win. But
now there still is a chance. There still is a chance the Cowboys could get the first round bye if they win. The Eagles lose.
And
no, there's no chance. Arizona would have to beat or tie San Francisco.
Go to San Francisco.
Yeah, in San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
And that's a, by the way, a 4-12 Cardinals team.
Yes.
And
they're
about their fourth quarterback.
By the way, it's David, do you say Blow?
Or
Blough. David Blough from Carrollton Creekview.
That's right.
By the way. And the only reason I know him because Missouri played him his senior year at Purdue, and I was asking Anthony Brown, I said, so, you know, what's Purdue got? And he goes, you know, they're not bad, but they're starting a quarterback's never started before. I don't know how good he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he put 500 yards passing on Missouri. Missouri won the game, but the kid threw for 500 yards. So
there's still a shot.
I always remember his name, right? As a matter of fact, the next week I went up to Anthony and I said, you know, you're a pretty good player, but you got no future as a scout.
Right.
And he started laughing because he knew what I meant. But, yeah, he's going to start his second game, and he's just been there a couple of weeks.
So. That's right. They've tied him off a practice.
So you guys are telling me you're afraid to go down that forbidden path?
That Arizona could go there and win.
I mean the fact that we go on the road and just kick everybody's ass on the way up.
Are we afraid of that?
But it's better to have.
Oh, of course,
a bye.
It's the first round bye.
It's exciting, man. Come on.
And as Jerry said this morning, you know, you always want to play at home.
I know.
Because they were giving them the.
Especially if you own the team.
They were giving them.
He wasn't speaking as a player necessarily, but yeah, you could.
They were giving them the choice on the two propositions, right? You're the top wild card team, so you got to go on the road and play Tom Brady, or you're the number two seed and you play at home, but chances are you're probably going to play Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Hey,
which
come on.
Do you want?
Hey, what do you want? Bring it on, baby.
Jerry,
bring it on.
Play it at home.
Bring it on, baby.
Because
come
if
on,
you
man.
Win the first one, you're still at home for the second game too.
Yeah.
I want to see something great. I want to see something generational. That's what I want to see.
That's what you were looking for.
That's what I want to see. Because this team has been, I mean, like Nate said, you've got the coach in there asking questions, answering questions, and you just blew a team out by 3 touchdowns. And yet you got to sit here at the press conference and answer all these questions about what is wrong with your team. I would love for us to just keep on going with all odds against us. Go to Tampa, go to Green Bay. I don't care where it is, and just shut that up, right? That to me, that would reverse all the narrative that the Cowboys are facing right now.
So you want the Cowboys to
go the hard way.
Go to Tampa Bay, beat Tom Brady.
That's first.
Okay.
That's first.
Then go to Philadelphia and beat who might be the MVP, Jalen Hurts,
yes.
And then go to San Francisco and beat Mr. Irrelevant.
Oh, yes. I'd love that. I would love that. I wish we could sprinkle Green Bay in there somewhere. Play 4 games. I don't care.
And then get who in the Super Bowl?
We got to have Joe because Joe is the guy that has the most resiliency. I'm talking Burrow.
Burrow.
Okay. Joe Montana.
No. Hey, let's not go there.
So Burrow. Okay. That's your dream scenario,
that's
Cowboys.
That's my dream. That's my Manning
scenario. Well, okay. We could do it a different way. Let's say the Packers stay hot.
Okay.
Okay. And then, so Aaron.
They win next week, of course. this week?
Beat Brady, Hurts, Rodgers.
I love that.
But except
and Burrow.
After watching Green Bay play Minnesota, they've got some sprinkled dust on them.
That's right.
Because with, I wrote this down, 1:32 left in the first quarter, the Packers were up 14-3 with no offensive touchdowns and 14 total yards. They returned a kickoff for a touchdown and an interception for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. 14 total yards. And then Minnesota is trying to kick a field goal, and their kicker, Joseph, who had made 13 consecutive field goals, he misses.
And then to end the first half.
And then
to end the first half, Mason Crosby, who we've seen before, connect from 56 yards in a playoff game.
There he goes.
He kicks a 56-yard field goal that doesn't clear the crossbar.
It hits
on top of the crossbar. If it is 1 centimeter this way, it bounces back or towards the field of play. Instead, it just bounced on
there. Where was that game played?
Green Bay.
So you're telling me that this man can kick a 56-yard field
longest
goal.
Longest of the season.
But we can't kick one when we were there in Green Bay. All the excuses about, my leg is freezing. My foot. He's putting the foot in front of the fire and all that kind of stuff.
But check
come
this
on,
out.
Come on, man. Don't ever.
No, wait.
Come on now. Don't ever let that narrative. Don't let the tail wag the dog.
Not only did the ball hit the crossbar, it bounced so well, it bounced into the net.
Yeah.
Into the net. That meant it bounced another 10 yards.
That means we could have kicked it as well. We had the best kick in the league, and we didn't go for it. That still chaps my butt, as Stallings would always say.
But anyway.
We could have kicked it.
That's Green Bay. And again, this is what I wrote about yesterday, the improbability of the NFL this season. Who thought the Packers at 4-8 would be sitting there at 8-8 and need one win to get in the playoffs? Or Detroit, 4-7, needing one win and a Seattle loss to get in the playoffs? All this weird, we sat there and go, well, what's the chances after they lost to the Jaguars that the Cowboys win 3 straight and the Eagles lose 3 straight? Well,
here we are,
close. And they're not sure Jalen Hurts is going to play on Sunday.
Oh, I thought they were pretty positive about that.
Perhaps factoring into that, they want to see who the Giants are playing.
Mm-hmm. Well, could
since
be.
The Giants don't have to win this game,
right?
That might factor.
But
into
let's
their
remember
too.
The Giants' history in 2007 when they played the meaningless game because they were the wild card team in New England and nearly beat the Patriots and got all this confidence, and they went in and won the first round. And what happened? They came here and beat the Cowboys.
I think
went on to win the Super Bowl, right?
That's the path
and they
I'm
decided,
talking about.
They decided they were going to play that last game of the year because they wanted momentum, and they lost the game, but they gained some confidence.
And they wound up winning the Super Bowl.
So,
all right, here's an update from the NFL on the Bills-Bengals game. NFL continues to be in regular contact with the medical team caring for DeMar Hamlin and also the Bills and Bengals organizations and the NFL Players Association. After speaking with both teams and NFLPA leadership, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell informed the clubs today that the Bills-Bengals game will not be resumed this week.
The NFL has made
no decision regarding the possible resumption of the game at a later date. The league has not made any changes to the Week 18 regular season schedule. We will continue to provide additional information as it becomes available.
So
they can still play next week.
Maybe play Monday night?
They're playing on Sunday.
Yeah, they still play Sunday.
They're not changing
their
Week 18 schedule.
Yeah, still one game
that's
left.
Right. I was thinking this was the last game. Yeah, that's right.
Where is that game?
It was in Cincinnati.
I have to look up where they're playing this
week. No big deal.
Don't you just cancel the game and just go by winning percentage?
That's what they talk about.
Yes, that's what you do.
Right?
I don't understand why we're...
You can't put in...
I mean, because you don't...
Are you going to resume the game 7-3? This ain't baseball.
And that's the only thing they can compare it to.
Right?
That's it. That's all they can compare it to. It is baseball.
I mean, and... If you're going to resume it next week, the earliest you could do that would be like Thursday, and then you push back the the next Monday. Playoff game till Monday or then you're playing. But then whoever
Thursday, Sunday.
Whoever one of those teams is playing in the playoffs, one of them may get the first round bye and not have a game. Mm-hmm. The other one, they'd be on a short week playing their playoff game, their wild card game. You can't do that.
Yeah. I think you just
don't worry about it. It's a non-game. Right? Okay, they play a 16-game schedule. Everybody else plays 17. That's fine. We can handle this.
And I dare anyone to complain. Right. Well, that's not fair.
Right. Right.
Go ahead. Try that.
Uh huh. Yeah. So, I mean, Bengals host the Ravens on Sunday, and the Bills host the Patriots on Sunday.
Hmm. And the Bills have not clinched the number one seed, right?
Right. That's what's at stake here. Kansas City is 13-3. The Bills are 12-3, and the Bengals are 11-4. So it's seeding. It's not only first round bye, but if the Bengals were to beat the Bills, they could overtake them for the 2 seed rather than the 3 seed. Right. So. Anyway, yeah, forget it. Don't worry about it.
It's life.
Okay. We'll continue.
We've
reached that decision. Yeah. So, all right, here we go with more mix shots in just a moment.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey. Oh. Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. 5 times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf, for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit unitedagandturf.com for more.
Back to Mixed Shots.
Dak Prescott is this year's Cowboys nominee for the 2022 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award presented by Nationwide, recognizing NFL players for outstanding community service off the field and excellence on the field. Help Dak earn a $25,000 donation to his Faith Fight Finish Foundation by voting on Twitter. Tweet or retweet hashtag WPMOY Challenge. Followed by Dak Prescott through January 8th. Vote Dak.
Mm-hmm. I do think that last Friday we all hit on our picks to click.
On Friday?
Yes. On Friday. At the end of the show on Friday.
For Sunday?
We picked
the
college football semifinal games. And we hit on both of them. We all were in agreement. TCU would be playing Georgia in the national championship game, and sure enough.
We finally got one right.
What games those were.
And boy, did we slam that, right? What did we win, each by 1 point?
Yeah, really. It was total. Actually, TCU won by six.
51-45. Right. Sorry.
Might as well have been one.
They said the first time they've been decided by one score, the two semifinal games.
Yeah, I believe that.
By one score.
Yeah.
Excitement.
And then yesterday at the stadium, Tulane USC.
How about that?
What a game that was. Right. Tulane comes from 15 points down in the final minutes of the game to win 46-45.
I didn't know we would talk about this, but to me, the dumbest play of the game.
I'll tell you exactly what it was.
Would you tell me?
Right on the goal line.
Thank you.
In the end zone.
Yes.
Why would you hand off 4 yards deep in the end
zone? Twice. Yes. But twice.
Yeah.
You did it twice.
Uh-huh.
And you have a Heisman Trophy winner right back here.
Mm-hmm.
This is my moment.
Yeah. And the only – okay. It's an – okay. Tulane was trailing by 8 points at that point in the game.
That's true.
That was with 3:20 left in the game. The only way Tulane can win that football game is if they get a safety there, cuts the lead to 6, and then
– 7.
And then they score a touchdown, 7 points. Because there's no way Tulane's offense, even against that bad defense, they didn't – not enough time.
Jerry Rice's son got off in the game, yep. But they had another guy over there in that green, looked like Mississippi Valley colors. That kid looked like Jerry Rice's son, yeah. Number two. Yeah, he looked like Jerry Rice's son.
But there's
son.
No way Tulane was going to be able, even if SC punts out of their own end zone, they cannot go down there. They can score a touchdown, but then they'd have to get a 2-point conversion, and that just gets you to overtime. They'd have to win it in overtime. As it was, you give them a safety.
First of all, the guy fumbles the ball. Fumbles the kickoff.
Was that
right,
your bounce?
Right.
Favorite coach with the play call?
Yeah, and see, this guy's a genius. Yeah. And how do you not make? Why would you give? The
you know
ball?
What? You know what?
You brought the ball to the.
You know,
here's
basically
what happens.
You brought the ball to.
Here's
the
what happens
defense.
These days: is they don't practice the quarterback under center enough. And they
that was a shotgun, wasn't it?
It was a shotgun.
That's what I'm saying, because he didn't go under center.
Right, that's what he said.
I mean, what happened in the –
But I wouldn't even
just,
run the ball.
Just roll him out.
Run the ball. Thank you.
Yeah.
He is a Heisman Trophy
quarterback
winner.
Sneak.
They haven't stopped him all game long.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I mean, he was on the roll. They were just singing his praises. Yo, this guy, 5 o'clock in the morning when he was 11 years old, he'd been a personal trainer, all this going on, and now he got the Heisman. Now he's about to win this game. No, he's not.
It looked like a zone read or an RPO. And he was reading the defensive end and decided to hand off or something. I don't know.
Too complicated.
If he would have taken it himself, it still would not have worked.
Right.
They were going to sack him.
He needed to take it, roll out, and throw it downfield.
Once again, Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
Not as a runner, not Tebow Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, this guy's prolific. And you sit up there and hand the ball off to him, to the running back. That was bad. The coach lost that game. I was watching with my son.
Yep.
The coach lost
There's
that
no
game.
I am just so glad that it qualifies my opinion that they should have had a 12-16 team playoff long
years,
time
and
ago.
Years ago.
Because you never know when and you
it
play
be,
the game what's going to happen.
And by the way, it should be a 16-team
yes,
playoff.
Why not?
Yeah.
When is that coming again?
In 2 years, it's a 12-team playoff. So so 4 teams get a first-round bye. Well, if you watch enough of these bowl games, everybody's got players. There
yes.
are players all over the lot, you know? And so it's not like it was 20 years ago.
Even backup players.
And the first.
Yeah.
And the first
you've got Cinderellas. I mean, who expected TCU to make it all the way? But
they
you go look
even
at.
They were ranked at the beginning
right,
of the season.
But and I've now been studying TCU's roster. You look at their roster, and
studs.
I understand why they're
studs.
In the national championship
studs.
Game.
Absolutely.
You know? That quarterback was, he was recruited by, he came down to TCU in Georgia.
You know, and you mentioned 4 teams get a bye, right? Well, Tulane's not going to get a bye, right?
Right.
So the big schools are going to get the bye.
Well, USC, if they beat Utah,
they're in the
playoff. Yeah, and they just lost to Tulane.
Right.
Okay.
Probably
so
there's
enough evidence right there to tell you that there shouldn't be any first-round byes in this 12-team playoff. It needs to be a 16-team playoff. Plus, all those group of five leagues, okay, the champion of those leagues, and there's only 10 conferences all told. There's 5 group of five leagues, and then there's 5 others, okay? The champion goes. And so when any Division I college football player starts practice in August, they know we have a chance to play for the national championship.
Yeah.
Because if we win our conference, then we're in the tournament.
See, and I think those schools, they were worried that if it's 16 teams, then people will transfer and go to these smaller schools and make them smaller schools better because – nobody's going to sit and wait to play. They right. want to play right now.
Yeah, the other thing with the 16 team is you'd have 10 league champions that qualify and 6 at large. Yeah. So everybody's staying current.
Everybody won't have to wait so long to play the national championship.
Right.
You know, they won't be sitting out a month or whatever.
Right.
Waiting to play
and
the
you
game.
You just start it right when the regular season
and
ends.
Let's continue.
And then right. take a little break for the holidays, and then you pick it up again with January 1st and the championship game a week later.
Hey, a couple Cowboy notes before we leave. Just Tony Pollard is scheduled to practice on Wednesday. The Cowboys are going to start Matt Forniak's 21-day ramp-up off injured reserve on Wednesday, so they expect him to
Need that at center.
Yeah.
That depth at center.
My take on Tyler Biadasz is probably, you know, we mentioned it's a high ankle sprain. I said it wasn't as severe as normal. Probably not until the playoffs, if he gets back in time for that. Leighton Vander Esch said he feels really well now, much better, and probably the playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not playing.
No, he's not playing. Mm-hmm. And
anything on Hankins?
I don't think anybody asked about him. But that was an original, since they put him on IR.
Oh, that's right.
That would be the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right.
This would the fourth game. And I had one more. The Eagles suffered a serious injury. Lane Johnson.
The offensive lineman.
Right.
Yes.
And it sounds like it's an abductor injury.
So
they paid the price for their backup in there. So we'll see. It could be season ending or he's going to have to play through something that's pretty painful.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first time all year they've had to deal with an injury on their
offensive line.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It evens the score.
Welcome to the club.
That's right. That's right.
Last one. Charles Haley. He gave Tyler Smith a autographed 94 jersey framed for Christmas.
It was That's what he gave?
He was sitting in the locker. And one to Jason Peters, too, by the way.
Why?
Because, I don't know, he was congratulating him on the season. He wrote on the 94 a little message to each one of them.
It's not bad.
And
that's got to have some value.
I mean, it's as big as that star.
Oh, I'm sure it's beautiful.
Behind us. Yeah. So that's anyway, crazy. Charles Haley.
That's cool.
He's getting soft.
He never did that for me. I'm this guy.
He is getting soft, I'll tell you that.
All right. So that does it for a Tuesday edition of Mixed Shots. And team is back at it on Wednesday, a regular work week. And we will be back to shout at you again Wednesday at noon on Mixed Shots.
Go Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!